I was in Costa Coffee this last week, and I saw this advert for hot milkshakes. I have tried one, by the way. Very nice, too. Notice something interesting in that, which grabbed my attention. Can we next slide, please? It said this, unbelievable, unbelievably good. And I thought, wow, you could put God at the front of that. God is unbelievable. He's unbelievably good. Sometimes when you're looking at adverts, you see things. You think, oh, there's a link there. That was my link today. Why is God unbelievably good? We're going to explore one particular reason today. Imagine. Imagine that you are with the disciples of Jesus while he was on earth. You've seen him do amazing, unbelievable things. You've heard him say unbelievable things that turn out to be truth. But you want to ask him a specific question. Jesus, I would like teaching on fill the gap. What would you ask for teaching on if you were there? I want you to spend no more than 2 minutes, chat with your people around you. What would you ask God or Jesus? What would you specifically ask him? You want teaching on? You want training on? What would it be? Okay, go. 2 minutes. Okay. Okay, we're some very interesting conversations going on. Let's actually, if you've got a loud voice, shout out one or two. Patience. Teach me, Lord, to be patient. Okay, how do I help people to see, blind people to see? How do I have confidence? How can I learn to be quiet?
Well, you could be quite
a suffering?
Jesus, how do I deal with suffering? How do you handle being compassionate? So, in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the disciples ask, Jesus, teach us how to pray. They don't ask for, how do I heal blind people? How do I walk on water? How do I do this, that, and the other? They said, teach us how to pray. I imagine the conversation goes something like this. Jesus, we see you going to pray so often. So often we're looking for you and you're not around because you're praying on your own. And we've noticed how that you get energized by prayer. Do you remember, Jesus, that day, that terrible day, when in the morning, first thing in the morning, you had a message from John the Baptist's followers telling you that John had been executed by Herod and he's had his head chopped off. You look visibly shocked. And then after that, just a short while after that, we all came back to you because we've been on a mission trip to learn about how to be Jesus followers. And then we had a long tutorial. We worked through issues and stuff that had happened. And while that was going on, then big crowds started to come. And then you spent the rest of the day teaching the big crowds. And then after that, they were really hungry. So then you did a miracle with the bread and with the fish. And we were thinking after that, you're bound to go to bed. But you didn't. You went off onto a mountainside and prayed. And you sent us off to go over the Sea of Galilee. And we were partway across the Sea of Galilee. And then you appear and you walk across the water, scared us to death. But it was amazing. And we could see you were reinvigorated by prayer. Teach us to pray. How does prayer work? Now that's a massive subject, but we're going to have a go at part of that today. And maybe this is a two-parter. Don't know yet. We see from Scripture that Jesus not just exampled it, sometimes he talked about it and taught it in little snippets. We can see from Jesus' teaching, for example, that God's not interested in geography. You can pray to God anywhere. It doesn't matter if you pray in the synagogue, in the church, on the motorway, at home, in Chippenham, in the Vatican. Makes no difference. We also see that God is low on fancy. He's low on fancy. What do I mean by that? He wants you to be real. He wants you to be open in those conversations. Cut out the rambling. Be honest to God. And Jesus says, well, you might as well, because God knows all about you. And it's an activity for everybody. Book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. End of the Bible. Jesus is standing at the door of our lives. It's picture language. And he's knocking. But he's not knocking as somebody angry with arms folded, demanding. It's a warm request. He's knocking on the door of our lives and saying, is anybody home? Is anybody listening? Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I'm going to come in. And we will share a meal together as friends. Picture language. Prayer is the opening of the door to allow God into our lives. We live in a culture of loneliness. Yet here Jesus is saying, I will be with you and I want to eat with you, as if we're having a meal together, fellowshipping. I was talking to my wife yesterday about my dad, who's 89 now, still is on his own. And how does he keep going? Why doesn't he get particularly lonely? And I think part of it is because he's a regular prayer. And as he's got older, he's done more of that. He doesn't feel that loneliness because God's with him. Another culture challenge that we have these days is just busyness. We're all so busy. Be an interesting sermon series on busyness. But here's the invitation that we pray, that to pause and stop, to eat, to fellowship. In its purest form, prayer is talk. We talk, God listens. God talks, we listen. Talk. It's a daily connection in our partnership with him through the bruises and joys of ordinary life. He listens attentively to our prayers. 1 Peter 3. God listens attentively to your prayers, your big prayers, your small prayers, your wherever you are prayers. It's an attentiveness. God's on it. He brings you energy when weary. He's ever ready. I use the ever ready rather than the more common one these days. I used to be around everywhere when I was a kid. I don't see it now. Don't know what's happened to them. But it's a battery. It's ever ready. It's got power. Prayer makes a difference. And here's an amazing thing. It changes predicted outcomes. Against all odds, when we open the door to Jesus and talk, things change. The unbelievably good news is that being a Jesus follower is about a love relationship with a creator God. And as with all important relationships, it's talk. So when the disciples are asking for this tutorial on prayer, we immediately can see how vital prayer is to Jesus and therefore to the disciples, and they want to get their heads around it. How does Jesus answer that prayer request? He gives them something. He gives them a portable, quotable, repeatable prayer. A skeleton prayer for people to put the flesh on, as they might wish. And we get that prayer in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. So I'm going to put it, if you can put it on the screen for me, Chris. And I want us to say this aloud. So this is the context, the request, and then the prayer. Let's read it together. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he'd finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Can I have the next slide, please, Chris? It's the one that's the Lord's Prayer. That's it. Let's spend a few minutes and just dig a little bit deeper into this prayer, this template for prayer that Jesus gives. And he starts off with "Our Father." My mum's side of the family is from South Wales, Abertillery. And my grandmother, who lived to 99, had 6 children. And being from South Wales, she referred to her children as "our Dave, our Glenn, our Ennis, our Dor, our Dave," etc. It was very personal, and it always had "our" in it. And but there's also that recognition that our Dave had his own family as well. A father suggests a warm personal relationship, which is ours as an individual, but there's also that corporate collective sense as well, our. So it can be said of the Jesus follower that we're brothers and sisters because we're spiritually linked to a heavenly Father, our. There's an individual relationship, and then there's a linked relationship. My Father, your Father, our Father. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. A father's base of operations is heaven, but he's also very much involved with earth. He's moving through dimensions. Nothing is impossible for our Creator God because he is all powerful. You can't have a prayer that's impossible for God. Doesn't mean it's going to be answered in the way you expect. But there's no prayer that's impossible for God. Your huge prayer request is not too huge for God. Your tiny prayer request is not too insignificant for God. And we're encouraged regularly to not give up, to persist in prayer. And that would be a topic for another day. I think it's also quite fascinating that we can pray not just for our local context here in Chippenham or into Wiltshire, but we can pray for places across the world. I've been praying for my mother-in-law to become a Christian for years, and she was here about a year ago for some months. And how many times did she come to church? None. She's in touching distance. No. However, last week, and I can't quite work out how, she decided that she was going to go to church. So she went with one of my sister-in-laws. And Adriana actually went to church. Maybe she was motivated because there was a meal afterwards. I don't know. But she went, and she's going to go for a series that they're doing there on mental health. Fantastic. But that's a prayer request for ages. But there's a timing on these things. And my sister-in-law took a photograph in church with Adriana there, which I thought was quite funny. Our Father in heaven is active on earth. Hallowed be his name. That means holy is his name. Totally perfect, without blemish, who makes no wrong mistakes, who doesn't have a bad mood, who doesn't lose interest or get bored with you. He doesn't make mistakes. 100% holy. We can trust him fully with our prayers. Our prayers are in the best of hands. They are with our Heavenly Father. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. The Bible clearly states that at the end of time, Jesus is coming back again. Not as a baby, but as the risen Lord, full of power and glory. His kingdom fully come. The kingdom has come. The kingdom is coming. The kingdom will come. But we can lose the thrust of this prayer if we think it's about praying for God to come at a particular time. That time is set, and nothing's going to change that. Matthew 24 says this: no one knows the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, only the Father God. There's a set date it's going to happen. The thrust then is a muscular prayer, a bold request that dares to ask God that his kingdom will advance in Chippenham, in Wiltshire, in the United Kingdom, across the world. It's a big prayer. It's a seeking after individual lives and whole communities, that they may have the privilege of knowing Jesus, that they may open the door of their lives to Jesus who's knocking. And the key to this prayer is to ask. Ask. In your talk, ask. You might be going through a sticky patch at the moment. Have you asked? Have you sought Jesus? Have you opened the door to him, to allow him to work in your situation? Unbelievably, unbelievably good. And we say, as we say these prayers, quoting Jesus, not my will, but your will be done. And we're reminding ourselves that God is not a vending machine where you put in your money and out pops your desired drink or your answer to prayer. The dynamic is much more serious. The implications much more bigger than we necessarily imagine. Because we're aligning ourselves with the activities of God in our world. As Jesus' followers on Jesus' team, we are in a friendship relationship, we're in a love relationship, we're also in a partnership relationship. We're partnering with him for his kingdom come. We partner together for God's will to be done in this place. The traditional word, the old word, is like being a member of a church, but it's more than that in our contemporary language. It's about being in partnership, much more so. We're not paying a bit of money and signing up or something and that's it. It's partnership. It's active. It's alive. So that's the first part of the prayer. And it's focused on the Father God, but the focus starts to change now onto ourselves. The focus begins with God because we need to get our perspectives right. When we have a big issue, when we've got a smaller issue, whatever it might be, the more that we focus on the problem, the bigger it gets. But the more that we focus on God, the problem gets smaller, and God, as it were, gets bigger in our thinking. Our confidence can grow. And so the prayer develops, give us our day, our daily bread. And here we're moving from the big, and from God, to the basics of life. Bread. Can't get more basic than that, can it? Bread. Please provide for us, for me, my daily bread. What I need. If you don't normally say the grace before a meal, maybe this Sunday lunchtime is the time to say thank you, God, for the bread, or the roast dinner, or the curry and chips, whatever it is you're going for. Thank you for my daily bread. I'm trusting you for daily bread tomorrow also. It's a conversation about the ordinary and the extraordinary of life. It's an act of worship, of a friendship. It's a trusting that God's got our backs. He will provide what we need. If you've got an old Zephyra Vauxhall with half the things not working anymore, including the heating, you might pray that you want a Rolls Royce. Or I might actually pray that. And guess what? I ain't getting it. I need a car. I've got a car. Be thankful, Andrew Bird. God's promises is for what we need, our daily bread. And when we feel our prayers are just too big or too difficult, just keep remembering God's promises, God's love, God's protection, God's enabling. I've put an example down which I'm not sure, I didn't know whether to say it, but I think I will. Imagine I've got a match here now and I light it. And it's just one flame. If I take it to the petrol station, poof, that's one mighty flame. The analogy I'm trying to work with there is, you pray on your own, fantastic, it's a light. But when you've got a lot of people praying, it makes a real difference. And so we've got a prayer line at church. Use the prayer line if you need it. We got a prayer meeting that meets on a Thursday evening. If you're available, join it. It's online, Zoom. If you're not in a home group or a life group yet, join a life group to pray. And sometimes we've got things that we want to keep personal, fair enough. But be open to connecting in, to get that prayer power. Out there is Trevor Durston. I haven't asked him, but he's my friend, so he let me off. But when he found out he's got cancer, what did he do? Did he keep it in his top drawer? No, he gets the matches out at the petrol station and gets everybody praying for him. And that would be partly why he's still here today. Bob, down the front here, does he keep it in a cupboard that what his challenges are? No, he gets them out. Need the prayer power. Keeps the fire wagons going. Forgive us our sins as we forgive the sins of others against us. Here's a reality check, isn't it? An illusion buster. We're not perfect. None of us are. And in our imperfections, we seek the forgiveness of Almighty God. We remember what Christ has done for us on the cross, that we are a forgiven people. And so we live a life of forgiveness. And we seek to live a life of grace. And when we get knocked off from doing that, then we come and confess it to our Lord and Savior. Because there's a golden cord running through this line. And that's forgiveness. Almighty God is keen to forgive all who seek him and repent. Let's say sorry. And repent is a word where you not only are saying sorry, but you're turning around and going to in another direction. And you're going in the direction of Jesus. And getting that right so helps us in our walk of faith and opens us up to not just being requesting, but being a blessing in and of ourselves. And we are a people who are to bless. I noticed when Chris was up here earlier, and when we prayed down at the front, he was using blessing a lot of the time, that he be a blessing, that we be a blessing, and the different ways that we can bless. But we're in that environment, and we're doing a new series over what's called Lent, which is the process up to Easter. And we're doing it in the life groups. We'll do it on a Sunday morning as well, and maybe some other times as well. I think it'd be good to have a general meeting in May, early May, where we see, well, what have we learned about the blessings of God? How do we be a blessing more and more as a fellowship? So I think it's going to be a really exciting series. Book into it. If you're in a home group, or if you're not in a home group, connect in with one. Corinne, can you just put your hand up? If you want to join a group, speak to Corinne. She'll plug you in. If you want to look at some articles on it, there's the Christianity magazine this month has a major article on blessings, and the author of the book that we're going to be following is there. Put that in your diary. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the standout thing I want to say here is the devil is described as a roaring lion. We wish the devil wasn't around, but he is. There is evil in our world, and we need protection from that. And that can push us away from our prayer time. We're in a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle to pray. It's a spiritual battle to be a Jesus follower in our world. Keep an eye out for being tripped up by Satan. Tripped up from all sorts of ways that he can do that. But always remember that God is much more powerful. Last line. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Now, in our Bible reading, that's not there. It's been added through church history to bring a roundness to this prayer. A full circle. We began with recognizing our Father in worship, and we end in worship and praise. And the final word is Amen. May it be so. Sometimes the picture I was looking for there was a program that's on a lunchtime quite often on BBC. I think it's BBC. And it's called, there's a hammer, there's an auction. What's it called? Does anybody remember? There's one under the hammer. Bargain hunt. That's the one I was thinking of, but they both relate. So the auctioneer he's doing the bids, £5, £10, £20, blah, 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 blah. And then when there's no more bidding, he knocks down the mallet. It's finished. Amen is, it's complete, it's finished. I agree. Done. That's how we ended off. But the prayer life goes on and on and on. Because prayer is talk. We're listening, we're praying, we're speaking to God. God's listening. Then we're listening to God because God's speaking. And the Lord's Prayer is a framework for that to lead us forward. So what do we do with it now? Well, we've got a few minutes. I'm going to ask Joy to come forward. Now, another time, if we had more time, I would have individuals speaking. It isn't time for that today. But what I'll do for a few minutes is just quietly bring some prayers. Maybe there's something of the Lord's Prayer that stood out for you today that you want to focus in on. Maybe there's an issue in your life that you want to focus in on. Maybe there's something going on in the world that you want to focus in on. God's listening attentively to your prayers. So let's spend a few more minutes in prayer. Then we'll sing our final hymn and close with a blessing. Thank you, Joy. Heavenly Father, as we lift our prayers to you, we give you thanks that you call us into relationship. And this is our desire. And it's our desire that we partnership with you for your kingdom come and your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. O Lord, that heaven may invade earth. In the week ahead, help us not to forget you, but to talk. Help us in the week ahead to be attentive to where you are nudging us, attentive to what you want to say to us, that just as you listen attentively to us, that we will be open and willing and listening for you. Thank you that you care for us individually. Thank you that you care for our families, our friends, our community. Thank you for your amazing love. Amen.